Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Audio Road. Welcome to Trends in Technology. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa Campbell is your producer and call screener extraordinaire. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show where we explore what's going on in the trucking industry. It's a mix of new products, new services, and new technology. We'll also bring you expert guests from all areas of the industry, such as Bruce Melanson on diesel engines and performance, and Mike Beckett on tires and alignment, as well as many others. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in with your question or comment. It's up to you. This is your show. Once again, welcome to Trends in Technology. And here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your calls. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Trends and Technology. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. We'll be here for the next hour, taking your calls and answering your questions. Lisa's screening your calls. If you're listening online and you want to join us live on the call, we've got lines open. Pick up your phone and dial 347-884-8327. You can listen along on the phone, or if you want to jump in, if you're on that call, press 1 at any time. You'll have to talk to Lisa first, and then we'll get to those calls here shortly. We've got a lot of stuff going on tonight, but as always, the phone lines are open for any questions you've got, whatever it might be. Fuel mileage, maintenance, trucks, money, taxes, whatever it is you want to talk about, press 1. Lisa will screen your calls, and we'll start getting to those here shortly. Like I say, got a lot of stuff coming up. We're testing a lot of things on our trucks right now. We have some very early numbers, preliminary numbers, nothing I'm confident about as far as the testing results, but thought I'd keep you informed as we move along. We've got 2 trucks switched over to Evans waterless coolant. We're about 2 weeks, just a little less than 2 weeks into that test. So I've got some numbers there. We're less than a week into a test on the propane injection. And we've got some very early numbers there, but we've also got Keith Long with us on the call tonight, who is the patent holder and founder of Diesel Performance Products, a company that manufactures that injection system. So I've got some questions for him. We'll talk about what we're doing with the system, what it's all about. If you have any questions for him, you can certainly jump in at any time. Also with me on the call tonight is David Kuntz from Fleet Air Filters. David's been on the show with us before, and David and I talk just about every week, and he is busy working on all kinds of ideas. We're doing a lot of things together, so we've got some projects. We've been brainstorming, and we'll talk about that. One of the things that we're in the early stages of planning is building a signature B series. We'll take all the signature truck specs, engine, driveline, all the components, all the upgrades, but we're going to build it on a reconditioned older truck. Right now I'm looking at probably 02 or 03 Freightliners. Got some leads on some 04s. I'm trying to track one down that might be pre-EGR. There's a couple of those floating around. And what we'll do is take that truck and completely recondition it inside and out and build it back to the signature truck specs. Then we're going to put it on the road, and we're going to run it in an everyday operation. We'll put it on with a carrier. We may build a signature trailer to go with it and just see what kind of fuel mileage we can get out of a truck like that. Then the truck will also be available for any future testing on a lot of new ideas. David has some new ideas. We've got, he'll give us a way to test those in an over-the-road operation closer to what a lot of the listeners are doing. My trucks are a great way to test for small changes. Like, you know, when we're looking at a product like Evans Coolant, I'm only expecting a couple tenths of a mile per gallon. Not a lot, but it's a small investment. There are a lot of other benefits to the coolant, and if we can squeeze a couple tenths on fuel mileage, that would be a good thing. It's really tough if you're only testing one truck in an over-the-road operation to pick up measure 2/10, because there's so many variables that it's really tough to do. My operation is so consistent that in a 30-day time frame, I can pick up smaller increments like that and measure them and be pretty confident that we're getting them. So it's a great way to test the product to know that it's working. Then we will move it to the truck we're going to put on the over-the-road operation. We'll be able to test there as well. So we've got a lot of things we're working on, and we can talk about them all tonight, or we can talk about anything you want to talk about. I am going to bring on Keith with me first, and we're going to talk about the propane system. So, Keith, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Kevin. How are you tonight?
I am doing great. And before we even get into any details about the system, I've got a couple questions just because we've got it on and I've got some real preliminary numbers. But I know that you may be able to help me with this. Here's what we've got so far. We put it on Monday. We run 540 miles a day. So we've got 4 days of runs in, and we're putting propane in the system every day.
Right.
We didn't get the receipt from this afternoon. I'll get it first thing tomorrow morning. But in the first 3 days, we used, the first day we used 13.3 gallons, which put us right smack on 40 miles to the gallon for propane, which is kind of what you told me we were shooting for, right?
Correct.
Okay, we were at 40.6 miles per gallon. That's pretty darn close. The second day we used 13.6 gallons, which put us at 39.56 miles per gallon. Again, you know, really right on. Now, on Thursday, it went down to 12.1 gallons of propane, which put us at 44.56 miles to the gallon. And today, I didn't get the receipt yet. So, is that a fluctuation that we should expect?
Absolutely. Load on the engine, that how hard, how much weight you were carrying in the truck would make a difference. If you were fighting the wind, you would have a little more boost. Our system is controlled by the boost pressure of the motor. So if you were to have a way to average your boost pressure, you'd also see that the boost pressure also directly relates to the gallons of propane being used. So just a slight load one way or a little less load will make the change. We were shooting for 40 miles to a gallon of propane, and we're right there.
Yeah, no question. I was, you know, I know we had talked about that on Monday when I figured the first day. I thought, wow, we right there. We got 40 miles to the gallon. I was pretty amazed on that. Now, we've fueled the truck on diesel twice, but the first fuel up was half of that mileage was before the propane system, and half of that mileage was after the propane system. So I pretty much ignored that fuel up because the data just wouldn't be good. We fueled today on 1,080 miles.
Okay.
And that's two round trips. Now, prior to the installation, this truck was real consistent. The 30-day average was 7.01. And it usually only varies about 2/10 in either direction. It, the same variables you just talked about. If we're a little heavy one day, we might drop 2/10.
Right.
If we're lighter one day, we might add 2/10. So we swing about 4/10 of a mile per gallon, 2/10 in either direction from the average. So it's really consistent. Now, on that 1,080 miles, we picked up 7/10. We're at 7.71 on the mileage.
7.71?
Yeah. Now, the way I've got it calculated is the propane, my daily cost, this is the way I'm running the numbers, is just daily cost to run this truck.
Okay.
To see if we're going to make any money with this. My daily cost the 30 days prior, if I run that average, it was costing me $227 in diesel a day. Now, my propane cost right now, the average after those three fill-ups, is roughly $28 a day.
Okay.
That means I've got to get my diesel cost down under 200. Right at 200 would be about break-even. And in order to do that, I need to get that fuel mileage up to just about 8.1, somewhere between 8 and 8.1, and we're at 7.7. So as it stands right now, and again, this is on one fuel up. We might have been heavy. You know, it's hard to tell because we never know our weights in the trailers. The driver can tell me, yeah, they felt a little heavier today, or, you know, I had one empty and everything seems fairly normal this week, according to the driver, and we're falling about 3 to 4 tenths short of break even on cost. Now, would we want to tweak this system at all, or do we want to run it and just see what happens?
Well, we've got the numbers right as far as how much propane we want to put to the motor.
Okay.
So I think what we want to do is run an average for a couple of weeks and see what these numbers look like. And
okay.
If we want, we can make an adjustment one way or the other, maybe take it down to 35 miles to the gallon, enrich in the propane a little bit, and see if we like maybe a little bit more to pick up some more mileage on it. But to where it works out the best is we find that 40 is a pretty magic number that looks good.
Okay. And that, you know, it's interesting because there are a bunch of people that are testing this, and we get calls all the time, and I mentioned the 40 miles to the gallon on the air, and immediately somebody called and said, we found we do better at 35. And I'm sure that in different operations, that number, or maybe with different systems, I don't know, that number.
Mostly with the difference in the amount of fuel that we're putting through these motors. If this was a pickup truck, we don't want to be at 40.6 miles to the gallon. We're more up in the 80 miles to the gallon on propane. For a pickup truck. But as we get into the heavier loads and the constant loads like the semis run, that we find that the 40 miles a gallon was the good breaking point where we always made money. We were always ahead of the game. We start burning too much propane, then it's hard to, you can't get enough gain of diesel. You're only going to get so much gain of diesel, and then more and more propane. More is not better. In that, but I'm agreeing though that we may have to take you to 35 to give me, and that might bump that mileage up to 8.2 or 3, so we'll be a little better on the diesel mileage, but we cost us some propane to do it. But there's going to be a line there. You don't, once you cross it, you could double the amount of propane and not get any more gain.
And that makes sense. I mean, logically, propane has less energy in it than diesel,
right?
And if we're burning propane, it would take a lot more propane to propel the truck than it would diesel. What you're shooting for is that sweet spot where the propane is improving the burn.
Right. We're not trying to run your truck on the propane. We're only trying to complete the burn of the diesel you put into it already.
Right. Okay. So really what I'm, that 8.1 or so is about break even. At 8, I'll just give you some numbers so, and for all the other listeners, we know what we're shooting for. Right now at 7.7, we're not to a break-even point yet. If we can get it, let me run some numbers here. We get it to 8.05. That's really break-even. I mean, we're at the same cost per day running both propane and diesel than I was at diesel. Now, the other thing about this is we've got two variables here. That's the cost of diesel and the cost of propane.
Right.
And when they move in different directions, all these numbers could change.
Everything
right
will change
now,
at that point.
Yeah, right now with tax, we're paying $2.12 a gallon for the propane, and that's delivered every day. So for me, that's pretty darn convenient. They show up at, you know, 3:30 every afternoon, and they fill the tank. The driver doesn't even have to be there. So it's pretty nice. Now, if we can get the truck to 8.3, then we start to see some profit. It would save us about $1,800 a year in diesel cost if everything stays consistent. If we could get this, you know, to that magic number of 9 on diesel, now we'd be talking about $5,000 a year in savings. That
exactly
would be, you know, really good numbers at that point.
I think it's going to be very possible to do that for you. Well, we need to run a little bit longer to see what the next tank of fuel is going to do. And then we'll talk one more time, and if we need to make an adjustment to it, I'll have somebody there to make a small adjustment, either to give us a little more propane. I'm thinking the direction will go, we may go from that 40 and run it down to maybe 35 miles to the gallon and see if we have a gain, the extra propane burned, can we get enough diesel gain. There may be some diesel gain we can still catch.
Right. Okay. Good. That sounds good. What we'll probably do then is let's run it through next Saturday, which will put us at over 5,000 miles on the system total, and we should have either 4 or 5 complete fuel ups by the end of next week, which should give us some consistent numbers, and then we'll talk again. And because this is really early. I mean, you know, normally I test things for a full 30 days before we really start looking at the numbers. The reason I'm looking so early on this is because I thought there might be some tweaking we might want to do, so I wanted to keep you up to date. You know, literally, if you want to, you know, I'll email you or whatever, you know, the propane and the diesel use every time, so you can kind of keep an eye on it.
Love it. Definitely. We have been getting the propane numbers, but we don't get the diesel numbers, so we don't know what you – I don't think we got a number today on propane, though. Because we have been able to keep an eye on how much propane you're using each day.
Okay, good. Yeah, normally when we get them first thing in the morning, they fax it over to us, so we'll see that tomorrow. Like I said, it's pretty darn consistent on the propane. So we'll have tomorrow and Saturday on the propane. Driver will probably, if he fueled today, he won't fuel again till Tuesday of next week. So we'll have another tank. He usually runs 2 full rounds, which is about 1,080 miles, and then he'll fill up. So we'll have another tank to track on Tuesday. And then we'll have Thursday of next week and Saturday of next week, and then we'll review those numbers then and see if maybe we should do a little tweaking on the propane usage or not.
Yep, I'd be happy to do that. Has your driver reported back how the truck runs?
Yeah, he noticed it right off the bat. He said it's a little tough in this operation because we don't really even have a hill, you know, between Orlando and Richmond Hill.
Right.
But he was, right away he noticed on the computer the fuel mileage was up. He said the truck's running good. He doesn't really pay a lot of attention to boost pressure because it's just not a run where performance is all that important to us.
Exactly. You guys set the cruise at one speed and it just runs, I take it.
Pretty much. I mean, it's, you know, it's an auto shift. The truck really isn't going to downshift between Orlando and Richmond Hill because there isn't a pull anywhere in there.
Yep.
So the performance isn't a big thing. There's two things that you know, we're certainly hoping to see enough fuel mileage improvement to make this cost effective. And then the other thing I'll be interested in seeing is we oil sample every 25,000 miles, and just what I've read on propane and the research, I really expect my oil samples will come back cleaner.
I absolutely believe that too. Yes, you will have nice clean oil samples, and you won't have any abnormal wear in your oil. Nothing from the propane anyway. I mean, if something else was going wrong, possibility, but nothing
right.
from the propane. That's been done years. We've been at this now for 10 years.
This is
new.
Now,
we've never had
propane's very, very clean burning itself. If it cleans up the diesel burn, which is what we're hoping for, I fully expect we should see better oil samples. And possibly, depending on how much it cleans up the oil sample, we might be able to extend those filter changes a little bit. Right now we're at 25,000 miles on the filter change and sample on our bypass oil system. And, you know, sometimes we get 150,000 miles on our oil changes.
Right. So you add a little fresh oil to it, and you got the refinery
yep.
going on and keeping it clean.
Yeah. Now, this is our dirtiest engine. We've got the two Detroits that are pre-EGR. We get almost 200,000 miles out of those, sometimes more. This is that EGR Mercedes, which is a little dirty on the oil sample, so it'll be interesting to see that.
Right.
All right. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on tonight, and I know it's really early. We don't have a lot of numbers yet, but I wanted to get you on and get you caught up to date on what we've got so far. And are you going to hold on the call with us?
Oh, yeah. I can be on here for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. No problem. I can stay on the line and listen. If anybody wants to talk to me, I'll be happy to talk to them.
Okay. I appreciate it. I'm going to put you back on hold. And if you are listening online and you want to join us on the call, we've got some lines open. Pick up your phone and dial 347-884-8327. If you're on the call and you've got questions, comments, whatever it might be, go ahead and press 1 now. Lisa will screen your call. If you've got questions for Keith about propane, if you've got questions for me about anything, I'm going to bring on David Kuntz from Fleet Air Filters. We've got some things to talk about, and then we'll start getting to some calls. So, David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Are we keeping you up past bedtime tonight? Or?
Oh, no, man, this is early. Hey, I have got a question for the propane. What does it do to the soot? I mean, is the motor running cleaner on your soot level, or I know we have a major problem with that.
Yeah, we
let's
have.
Bring it back.
I'm sorry. Can I even talk right now?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, I didn't know if I was linked in or not.
Yeah.
On the soot on the motor, there is a area that you can have a higher particulate if you have too rich of the condition of propane. But when you don't run in that rich condition over propane in it, you won't have any increase in soot.
Okay.
But
so
there is
in
particulate. In the soot on it, the instant the propane comes in, it goes from black to a grayish white color, clear, as soon as the propane is introduced.
Okay. I was just curious about it because I know some of the motors, that EGR motors, have been having a lot of problem with the soot in them. And we've been running some fuel additive to keep our soot out. We've been running that Intertech Lab stuff, and that's been working really well. But you know, before we've been pulling our EGRs out and cleaning them, you know, sometimes twice a year. And I was just thinking, you know, if there was something else that we could do to, if this would help even more. I mean, that would be
an interesting thing to do to Kevin's truck when we get done with the trial in 4 weeks. Is to pop the thing loose and just look and see if it's kept it nice and clean, if there's any soot in there. It could very well be extremely clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we will certainly be tracking on the oil sample. I'm going to look right now while we're talking to see if what our most recent sample on that truck is. And I'm going to pull one this week just to get us a pretty clean distinction between pre-propane and after propane. But I'll check the soot numbers on this truck in the samples.
Right, and see if that should be down. Particulate might could be up, but I wouldn't suspect it. We're very light on propane. We're not using a lot of propane at all by any means. But there is a point that you can over propane it, over fuel it, and pick up particulate.
It seems like the propane would clean it better. I mean, it seemed like you'd have a better burn, so therefore you'd be getting more of the soot out of the motor.
But are you thinking you're seeing soot or are you seeing particulate? I mean, it's so close to one to the other.
Yeah, he's not talking about watching the exhaust. Are you, David? You're talking about an oil sample, the soot level in the oil sample, right?
Yeah, the soot level in the oil sample is what I'm talking about. And of course, the soot that you're collecting on the EGR stuff, too. I mean, you know, we're just trying to get rid of all that because
exactly.
The EGR is hanging up on us.
Right, right.
In some of our trucks.
Yeah, the real test will be in the oil sample. You know, if it's cleaner in the sample, then we're obviously going to be putting less out in the exhaust. Right now, you know, this engine we just put it on, even though this is an EGR engine, we're running the new EcoPure system on this, the bypass. So even with the EGR after 25,000 miles, our soot levels are still running 0.3%. They're pretty low.
That's after it goes to that little oil cleaner.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah.
That's,
so with
that's really good. I mean, that's clean. That doesn't seem to be. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be out of line at all.
No, after and like I say, that's 25,000 miles on the filter change and about 43,000 miles on that oil.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's really good numbers in.
Yeah, that's that EcoPure is really working well for us. I mean, I ran the OPS one for years and it kept our oil really clean, but the EcoPure seems to be working even better.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to put on this truck. We're talking about building some stuff like that, and just you know, make it a never ending battle as far as testing everything. Just you know, one thing after the next. So.
Exactly. Hey, Keith, I've got you back on hold. We'll come back to you if we have any questions. And David, you and I, why don't you catch us up to date just real quick on your trip up to Jones Performance and what went on up there?
Yeah, you bet. Me and Rob and Dave at Jones Performance all got together and we actually designed a new canister to go in one of Dave Jones's trucks. And we ended up making an oval-style filter and basically redoing all the duct up under it. We utilized more of his cowl induction hood that he's got on it now. And so far, I mean, we got it built, but we hadn't put it on the road yet. Hoping the next week or so we're going to have this thing out and go on and do some testing on it. But it looks really great. I'm really impressed with how it looks. I think the performance is going to be pretty awesome. And we upsized all the intake tubes to the turbo and all that. So, more airflow, more power. You know, we're thinking some pretty good numbers on fuel mileage. You know, we've actually found some magic numbers now in canisters size, and I'll share that with you guys, too.
Okay. Just to give everybody kind of a history, you started out by building the filter elements, the foam lifetime cleanable elements. You were getting really good results with those, and you were improving airflow with just an element, but you stay up till, you know, 1 and 2 in the morning working on your crazy ideas. And now what you're doing is actually building it and creating an entire intake system to improve overall airflow, not just the filter element itself. That's kind of the stuff you're working on now, right?
Right. What I'm trying to do now, our foam filter we got out now on the market is about 30% better than a paper overall. Well, we've actually finding a lot of the restriction now is also coming from the canister that the filter is in. Well, what we have decided now that the magic number to us is to have a 2-inch airspace all the way around the filter and the housing now, where before, on a lot of these filters, you only got, the most I've seen so far is about an inch. Okay.
Okay.
But most of them is around an inch to three quarters of an inch. And what's happening, you're not utilizing all your air filter. You've only used half of it on average is what these guys are getting. So we're in the process of making some new canisters along with Dave Jones at Jones Performance. But we're also in the process, we're going to experiment. We're going to make a filter that's smaller diameter than the OEM filter that's in these canisters to try to pick up some airspace. Now, the downside to this is you got to clean the filter more often. But the upside to it is that you're not going to have to buy a canister, so the cost-effective part is going to outweigh. You know,
okay, so
I think that we're on to something good, but it's just, you know, I stay up a lot of nights, and I never quit thinking, and, you know, my wife says you never sleep, but, you know, I don't sleep because I enjoy what I do.
I know. I love when I talk to you because you're very passionate about what you're doing, and we're discovering things that nobody's really thought about before. So kind of help everybody visualize what we're talking about here is that you've done all the flow tests on this and you've been working on these different designs, and what you're finding is you're picking up, you know, 30% just by changing the element from the paper element, which is just old technology and horrible, to your new elements. But then what you're finding is there isn't much room in the canister itself. There's just not enough airspace in there so that the airflow comes in but is being sucked into the filter, and you're not using the whole filter. There's not enough room to get enough air into the space, right?
Right. What's happening is when the air comes in your filter, and this is on a standard flow filter. What I mean by that is a filter that flows from the outside in. Okay, this is not on the Peterbilts and stuff that has the big cans on the outside. This is mainly underhood trucks.
Okay.
What's
right.
happening, the air's coming in, it's hitting the side of the filter, and that really confuses the air, but there's not enough air space for the air to crawl to the other side along the filter housing. And
okay.
The airspeed is too great, therefore, when you're picking up airspeed like that, and when air becomes really fast, it's too fast, and it wants to go to the least amount of resistance. So
okay.
If you can get more airspace around it, like 2 inches all the way around the filter, the air is going to have a tendency to wrap further around the filter and still only going halfway. I would love to see it go all the way around the filter, but it hasn't happened yet. I mean, it will go around the filter when your filter starts stopping up, then it starts migrating around. And it normally
right.
goes clockwise, you know. So,
okay.
You know, right now the most I've seen is 7/8, 3/4, somewhere in there. But
okay.
We're going to make it go all the way around. I mean, I've had it on the flow bench. I put baffles in it. I've had air ducts in it. I mean, just trying to divert some air and stuff around and
right.
trying to get it to move the air. And it's just not happening. So, we're going to get it. It's just going to
okay.
take a little time to get it there.
So what we're looking at is we're kind of testing different trucks because every system is a little different. And on some trucks, it may be a matter of building the housing, a new housing. But the other idea you came up with on some trucks is leave the housing the way it is, build a smaller filter so that you create that space around
it. Right. And so, you know, once we build a smaller filter, then that's going to cut the cost of having to build a canister for every truck. Now, some trucks, it's just going to have a canister. I think we was talking about a Peterbilt today, and I can't remember the number on that truck. I was talking to you earlier.
387.
About.
Yeah, 387, yes. The aerodynamic Peterbilt, right.
Yes, that thing, the filter in that truck is very small, and the canister is very small. So there's a guy that we're actually doing I'm actually going to make a canister for. His name's Alex, and I think he lives in, I think, Mexico. Anyway, he travels back and forth through where I live, and so I'm going to make him a canister, and we're going to put it on there, and I want him to experiment with his canister and see what's going to happen. But I measured his filter the other day, and the filter was about 10.5 inches in diameter. Well, the can's only 11.5.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah.
And then the air intake hole that comes in, when you calculate everything in there, the hole is only 3 inches of air is what it has to suck the air through. And this is a 500 horse truck.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's,
you know, it just doesn't happen. You can't take 500 horsepower and suck through a 3-inch tube and expect it to have any efficiency at all.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we're working on that, and I'm going to get, you know, that's one of our trucks on my list that I want to see increase a lot more fuel mileage. But these guys are only getting 5.3 miles to the gallon anyway.
Yeah, yeah. If we can pick up, you know, 3 to 5 tenths by improving that, that would just be huge.
Yes.
That would be big.
We had a guy come in today, and I told you the story earlier. His air didn't work. He was wanting to spend a lot of money on fixing his air and all this mess, and he decided he wanted to put a generator with air conditioning in the back. And I really felt sorry for the guy because I guess he just didn't know any better that, you know, we can take and save him money by getting him more fuel mileage and making his truck more efficient, a lot less than what I can put a generator on his truck for.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I had an interesting call today, and it was because of the propane system being on my truck. The way our operation runs, we're all on dedicated runs, and we meet drivers from another terminal. We meet the same driver day after day. Like, my driver leaves Orlando and goes to Richmond Hill, Georgia, and there's another contractor who leaves Charlotte, our terminal in Charlotte, and meets us at Richmond Hill, and we swap trailers, and everybody goes home. And he happened to see the propane tank on there, and he talked to my driver, and, you know, they got talking, and he called me, and I don't know the guy at all. He's a contractor out of Charlotte with multiple trucks, and he wanted to know about the propane. And he said, you know, with fuel prices where they are and our new contract, he said, we know we have to get better fuel mileage. And many of the contractors at FedEx have never worried about fuel mileage because for years we had a guaranteed fuel price of $1.25 no matter what. Even when fuel was $5 a gallon, we bought fuel on the road at $5 and we got reimbursed all the way back to $1.25. What we didn't get, though, was the fuel surcharge. That was the system they used. Instead of a fuel surcharge, they just kept our price at $1.25. Well, I hated that because I missed out on that opportunity of all the extra money we could be making by getting good fuel mileage. Well, it made most of the contractors lazy. They didn't care about fuel mileage because fuel wasn't expensive enough to worry about it. So now, he said, we know we've got to get better fuel mileage. He says, we just don't know how to do it. And he said, I'm looking into propane and all these other things. So I got talking about all the things we've done. And it was a great comparison because he runs the other half of our run. I mean, they're mirror images, and it's the same run every day. So I got doing some numbers, and based on the fuel mileage his truck is getting – compared to the fuel mileage my truck's getting. Remember, we're doing the same thing every day.
Right.
My truck, just on fuel mileage alone, nets in my pocket $17,000 more a year than his truck.
Hey, that's a good truck note, ain't it?
that's huge. It, we're doing the same thing every day. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't change, and yet, because of the way I've spec'd that truck and the things we've done with it, now I've got two trucks on that run. That's $34,000 a year. That's just net. That's crazy. So then I got talking to him about one of his other trucks, and it runs Charlotte to Rialto. And I used to run a truck from Orlando to Rialto. And he's been doing it for about 10 years. And he said, that's my best truck. He said that we get 6 miles to the gallon on that truck, and that's the best I've got. When I ran that run, I got 7.8, pretty consistently, which is about $22,000 a year difference in cost on one truck. And I got talking to him about building him because he's looking for a new truck, and I got talking to him about building him the signature truck, the glider kit, and I said, I am – completely convinced we could get you to 8 miles to the gallon and maybe even 8.5. And at 8.5, we start talking about $30,000 a year in fuel savings on that run.
You know, and that's, hey, that's, you can add another truck on for $30,000 a year. I mean,
that's
huge.
The numbers are crazy. So another project you and I were in the early stages of talking about, you've been wanting to put a truck on the road running freight so that you can test a lot of your ideas.
Right.
We've been wanting to build what we call our B-Series signature truck. The signature truck is a new glider kit built from scratch. The B-Series is the idea of taking an older truck, pre-emissions, pre-EGR, and reconditioning it. Instead of somebody going out and spending $60,000 or $65,000 to buy a newer truck and have all those EGR and emissions related problems and DPFs and all the other things, we've said, look, if your budget is $60,000 or $65,000 for a new truck, what could we do with that money if you just kept your old truck? And now your budget becomes $60,000 or $65,000 to work on this old truck. What can we do with it? You know, if we rebuild the engine back to signature truck specs, if we recondition the interior, paint it, new seats, I mean, whatever you want to do to make the truck like new, and then use the money to add all of these technologies that we've proven that work. You know, the bypass oil filter, all the engine enhancements, the air intake enhancements, build new exhaust, all these concepts and ideas we've worked on, what would we end up with? What kind of fuel mileage is possible out of that? So you and I, we just started talking about this, might combine those two ideas, build this B-Series signature truck, and use it to prove, first of all, what's really possible on fuel mileage, reconditioning an older truck, and then give you the test truck to play around with your new ideas on.
Right. And yeah, the ideas that we have at Fleet Air is just unlimited. I mean, you know, and all these ideas, they, most of us come from racing. That's our background.
Right.
But the ideas we have are they're so unlimited, it's just unreal. I mean, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and talking about wheel bearings, you know. I mean, it just never stops, you know. So
I know.
I know that what we're wanting to do with you guys, I suspect 9 to 10 miles to the gallon. I mean, I think shoot our goal and let's hit our goal mark. And there's no reason why we can't do that.
I know. I those numbers sound a little crazy, but we've come close already. And since we did that, you know, a year and a half ago with the first signature truck and several since, I mean, we've got trucks consistently running in the mid 8.5 range, pulling general freight, and we've got a couple new ideas that we didn't incorporate into those trucks. And the other thing we're talking about is putting this truck in an operation where we can own the trailer, and then building a signature trailer with all the technologies as well. And then that's when I think that 9 number becomes very feasible, and, you know, dare I say 10 becomes that goal that we're really stretching to try to reach.
Right. And I think with this B-Series we're talking about, I mean, you know, I want to go all out with it. I mean, I've talked to Roger, my partner in Fleet Air, and he pretty much said, Dave, whatever you want to do, that's just what you do, because it seems like, you know, your ideas are like never ending anyway. So,
right.
But, I'm more than willing to do whatever it takes, and I know there's a lot more products out there that we can look at and do some testing on and give to these drivers and stuff and let them know what's working and, you know, help these guys get their fuel mileage up.
Yeah, it's an exciting project. I was looking at trucks today, and I was surprised. I found a lot of Now, the absolute cutoff is, I know for sure if we buy an 03, it's pre-EGR. And unfortunately, I was looking after hours, so I couldn't call. But I found a lot of 04s with 12.7 Detroits. And that was the changeover point. They built some 12.7s as EGR. And then they went to the 14-liter with the EGR. So the 04, there are some 04s out there that have 12.7s pre-EGR. And if we can get that, and they pretty nice prices, too, still. I was surprised. I'm finding 04 still in the 16 to 20,000 range, depending on mileage. So I'm going to spend, I don't know how many people I'll be able to get a hold of on Saturday, but if not, I'll be on the phone first thing Monday. I'm just going to go down the list of all the 04s I found and see if any of them are pre-EGR. I eliminated a couple because they had some underhood pictures and I could see the EGR on them, but that'll be the first step. And if I can't find an 04, there were plenty of 03s that I know are definitely pre-EGR. So we'll,
I don't even care if it's wrecked. I mean, because we're going to take the truck. We're going to totally disassemble the truck. We're going to redo everything on it. I mean, when we get through, it's going to look like a brand new truck inside and out when it's finished.
That is going to be such a fun project. I am so looking forward to this.
Yeah, so, you know, if it needs a front end, we don't really care because it's a good possibility that Dave Jones and them at Jones Performance, you know, they may end up coming up with a new front end design for us or whatever, and then we can make it a little aerodynamic if we need to, you know. So our capability in our shop is, I mean, my background's collision work. That's what I've done most of my life, too. There's not too much we can't fix. I mean, if our motto is, if we can't fix it, it's not broke.
I like that.
That's been my motto.
I love that. I see we've got some questions. Why don't we, I think I've got a question for you, so I'm just going to leave you on the line. Let's go to Colorado this time. Clint, welcome to the program.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Just got a quick question for David there. I called your outfit the other day, talked to Dreamer down there about getting a filter for my truck, and you guys were not making them for GMC Duramaxes yet, and I sent her a picture of my filter and stuff. She said she's going to talk to you about it. I'm just wondering if she has. It's been a couple of weeks ago, and if you'll be able to get one for this.
She actually did talk to me about it, and we did have a print-off that's laying on my desk. I did look at it. We're not making that right now. Eventually, we will get to that, and we will make them. And pretty much how we do our filters is we start off with the most popular filter, then we graduate to the least popular. And I'm not sure where that filter falls in, but, you know, don't get me wrong. Every filter is extremely important to us, though. I mean, if it's important enough for you to call me, it's important enough for us to look at it and try to build it. I can pretty much build anything except for a flat filter. But... on that one, you know, I don't know if it's feasible to build it because it's not very big. It seemed like to me it's only like 12, 14 inches long.
Yeah, and, something like that, about 6 inches around.
I'm sure it probably falls dead.
Yeah, it wasn't very big. It probably falls dead last on your list. I wouldn't, you know, I'm a hotshot setup, so I'm sure you guys are way too busy. I was just wondering if it was going to be available anytime soon.
Yeah, eventually we will have it available.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate all
hey,
you guys
for your
do.
Hey, you're welcome. Let's move on. Let's go to Jack. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Real good. Good show. Hey, I'm coming to the CMC, of course, and I wanted to know, Kevin, what can we plan on getting done to our trucks when we're there? Like can Artie put on, you know, the oil bypass? Can Bruce put on mufflers? Do we order that through lease, or how's that all go?
Yeah, coordinate everything through Lisa. The bypass system, I'm not sure. Artie won't have anything there as far as installation and tools. Bruce is bringing, you know, everything. He'll be coming from the, Iowa 80s going on just about that time. He'll be there. So he'll have his whole trailer. He's talked about, you know, doing all kinds of stuff out in the parking lot. Now, the one thing that I do know about Bruce, is he gets, Bruce is really passionate about this kind of stuff too. So he, you know, he would do an in-frame out in the parking lot if we let him.
Right.
But, you know, as far as time goes, what I would recommend is if you've got something specific that you're interested in while you're there, get with Lisa. She'll check with whoever she needs to, and we'll try to arrange and see what we can get done.
Okay, terrific, because it's a wonderful opportunity to take advantage of the 4 days while we're in class of getting some stuff done, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it's not really an official day. The official days are Monday through Thursday. Bruce is planning on staying on Friday and working with people on a lot of things like that. So it's
Cool.
Really, it's technically unofficially 5 days.
Oh, great. That's good to know. Okay. Well, appreciate that, Kevin.
All right. And like I say, if you've got something specific that you want to make sure you get done while you're there, get with Lisa, and we will do everything we can to get that done. Let's see. Let's go to Texas this time. Jake, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How are you tonight?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, I got that filter from Dave there. But I can't really tell a difference, and I don't know for sure, probably because of these tires that I put on. I was just wondering if that's all it is or if it's because I dropped fuel mileage when I put my new tires on, the new X1s on. And I was just wondering
what tire did you have on there before?
I had the old X1s, the old drive one, or just
okay.
The I can't
the
remember
XDA.
Yeah, the XDAs.
X1.
I ran them out, and then at the same time that I put Dave's filter on, I put brand new tires on the Energies, and I dropped
okay.
about 6/10 of a mile to the gallon.
Oh,
give me, and I can tell you whether or not. Because you stuck with the same tire and just went to a new one, it's a little easier to calculate. Did you run them right down to, what, about 3 or 4 30-seconds on the old ones?
Yeah, right down to where I thought I was going to get in trouble.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well,
is it a knobby tire?
Yeah, it's the X1. We would have expected that when you switch from that worn-out tire to the new X1, you were going to lose 7% in fuel economy.
Right.
So what was the fuel mileage before you switched?
Well, according to the fuel gauges there, I was at 6.25. And so now I dropped back down to, I'm back. Of course, it hasn't dropped all the way yet, and I don't know what it splits up for, but on the tank folds, it's coming out about 5.6.
Okay.
Hmm. What kind of truck?
Yeah.
I'm pulling a flatbed with a Conestoga top on it. And so I was just kind of curious when I can expect that to come back up.
What model truck and what engine?
It's the ISX. I've talked to you about this one before. It's the ISX 04 EGR, which is disabled.
Okay.
Is it a single filter or dual?
That's a single filter. I got that filter from Dave there, I think, that Fleet Air filter.
I'll look and see.
Yeah, somewhere between 4 and 5 tenths of that loss was due to the new tires.
Okay.
So we need to figure out where the rest of it went and why we haven't picked anything up. Now, you've got the EGR disabled on it?
Yep, it's all disabled. I totally disabled it, and I've also been having problems with my turbo, so that could be part of it.
Yeah,
but,
I was going to say, I have a feeling something else went on here.
Mm-hmm.
That we might need to take a look at.
But say, I was just wondering if I could have Dave give me a call off the air, or I got something I want to run by him.
Yeah, you bet. The,
yeah.
I tell you what, Lisa's got my number. When,
okay.
If you go back to her, she'll give you my cell phone number when I get off the show.
Okay. Right. I am going to put you back on hold, Jake, and Lisa is going to pick up, and she'll make the arrangements to make all that happen. Let's see. Let's go to George in Miss. Oop, hold on 1 second. That thing's jumping all over the place here. Let's go to George in Mississippi. George, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. I don't know if you saw the news today. Obama signed by 2014, trucks got to have 25% more better fuel mileage. And I was curious if propane would be part of that, or how are they going to achieve that? Did you hear see that?
I did see it. And it's too bad. It really is, because any time the government gets involved mandating this stuff, there's the law of unintended consequences. And the government is just masters at screwing things up. You know, if you look at what's happened in the auto industry because of those mandates, where they mandate that the manufacturers have to have so many models that get above a certain fuel mileage, and it all sounds great on paper, but if you look at what that did to the industry, what it did to the safety of a lot of vehicles, what it did to the performance of a lot of vehicles, I mean, they compromise everything else so that they can reach those numbers because they're forced to. And it's almost never a good thing. I don't know what the manufacturers are going to do, but it's usually not good.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was sort of like you had Volvo, Navistar, Cummins, and all the CEOs there, and it sort of reminded me of healthcare. Once they realized that they wasn't going to defeat it, they started giving, you know, realizing that they could make money off of the government-run healthcare without,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. But so if at 25%, if you was getting 6 miles to the gallon, that means you got to get 7.25. Does that sound right?
Yeah, and right 25. Off the top of my head. I mean, and that's crazy. First of all, there's a real problem in on the trucking side of determining what fuel mileage really is. I mean, it's a little easier in a car. The car only comes in so many configurations. And we do the same thing with the car. You drive it around. One car is pretty much the same as another. When we start talking about trucks, how do we set the fuel mileage? What's the base number? Because if we could buy a truck, and if we go put it to work pulling doubles for me, it's going to be very different than the guy that's pulling, you know, drop deck freight on the West Coast. So where do we even set the benchmarks? And then, you know, it's just going to be a mess. It always is when the government gets involved. It's unfortunate, and it will make the new trucks that we're going to be facing in 2014 worse than they are today in you know, 2010. It's kind of scary to think of. And I'll tell you what, I had no idea we were almost out of time. It's a good thing we have the British lady there to remind me. David, Keith, I want to thank you guys for joining me. The time really snuck up on me there. Great show. I appreciate you guys being here.
Thank you for having us.
And
I appreciate it, Kevin.
We will talk to you guys again soon. Thanks, everybody else, for joining us. And be sure to tune in tonight. Coming up 30 minutes, the live show on SiriusXM. And next week on Trends in Technology Friday night, we'll probably continue on with the same kind of stuff. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.